2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by the Cabins at Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
And good morning, everyone. It's Joe Davis filling in for Tim Hughes today. It is the 31st of August, the end of the month. And that sure came fast. Good grief. I don't even know what happened to the month of August. But regardless, it means that we're running out of summer real fast and fall is coming. So a lot of today's show will be discussing that, of course. But I am very happy here on a Saturday morning this early to have my buddy Steve Heumann come in and join me on the show, because it's early. It's hard to find a friend.
It is early.
Right?
I'm not going to lie. I usually get up at 5:30 anyway, so it wasn't like a big deal.
Yeah.
But still, it's Saturday.
What is that that old saying about, yeah, is it Saturday, right? Why would you get up? Help you move, but real friends help you move bodies.
Yeah.
Right?
Hopefully won't be asking me to do that this morning. That would be a bit much. But
that's the cold podcast.
That has nothing to do with us. That's cool.
Yeah,
that'll be next Saturday.
Right. But a real friend if they get up this early for you.
Well, so, you know, I love you, Joe.
Thanks, man. The feeling's mutual. We could just turn this into that kind of, just a totally different show here.
Yeah.
But it's an outdoor show. So I'm excited to have you here, because here's the thing about Steve Heumann. You and I have known each other for years. We've co-hosted and in other ways worked together on TV, on television, on At Your Leisure. You were one of the main hosts of the show. I was the gadget guy.
Yeah. Right? I was the senior producer of the show for a long time. I worked with the show for 15 years.
Yeah, over on ABC.
On Channel 4. And it was an outdoor, it's still on. It is an outdoor adventure show.
Right. I'm still on it as a voice now, a voice.
Do you still do the trailheads?
Yeah,
Since I left last year, I'm not as hooked into
those. I love them. They're just, walk in and record some stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fun. And getting to experience the outdoors for those 15 years was amazing. I mean, being able to.
Nothing quite like it.
Oh, no. Being able to go out and meet people and talk to them about why they love the outdoors and what's going on and the adventures that they're having, and then be able to experience those adventures.
Right.
And kind of, experience them not once but twice, because oftentimes I was behind the camera. And so I was able to experience it in the moment and then take it back to the editing bay and write the story and go through it again. And so, it was a real joy.
And I did a lot of the camera work for the show as well. So I would travel and do these, what do we call them, junkets?
Yeah.
Because we're trying to fit a whole lot of stuff into one, one weekend of travel. And okay, like you, for me, that experience was one that my family was involved in, that I got to take my kids and do things. I know you did that too. And it's one thing to do it of your own accord and to pick the place you're going. But to have it picked for you and to be told, go and make an adventure, go do this thing, it could be anything. And that's why I usually loosely define the word outdoors here, because might not necessarily be so much outdoors as it is an adventure somewhere doing something.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that I enjoyed about it is that, I'm a hiker. I enjoy hiking. I enjoy nature. That's really what, I'm personally into. And so being able to go and do things that I would never have thought about doing, going and ice climbing in Jasper National Park in Canada.
Wow.
Or, jumping out of airplanes, which I did many times.
Many more than you should. You should really never do it.
No, we'll get you out. We will get you out, Joe. It is an experience that everybody needs to try if you've never been skydiving.
I'm going to be like George W. Bush and George
go on like
Senior and do
birthday,
it at 90th birthday.
There you go.
Yeah.
But being able to
more sensible.
Wait until you can break more easily. Yeah, and being able to get to know the state of Utah like few people know it. I mean, I've been to every corner of the state. I've met people and filmed and interviewed and gotten information. And so I know the state like the back of my hand to the extent where it's like now if I want to take my family out somewhere, it's like, oh, well, we can go somewhere totally arcane that people don't know about and really experience something special.
That is what it's all about, Steve, because I kind of feel the same way about the fact that we get to see places that few do, because we were often talking about road access and things like that. So remote areas, stuff that was kind of being argued about, maybe, certainly that was a big part of our show. So, yeah, you got to these places that, you know so well. And here's the funny thing. I'm just going to share this with you. As a Utah native, I should have known many of those places, right? I mean, my parents, my grandparents have talked about them. I mean, they settled this land. You probably had some pioneers in your family too, right?
Actually, no.
No? Okay, I did. And now here's that's even funnier, because with all of that, when I started with the show, I didn't know an awful lot of the stuff. I just went, oh, yeah, sure, I've been there. Yeah, Chad, whatever. And just went with it, and then I got to look it up. Where the heck am I going this weekend? I have no clue where that is, right? But it was so much fun because that really was an adventure for me. That meant that I was going somewhere that I have never been or, maybe had heard about, but that's it.
Well, that's the thing, is that most people in the state, they don't appreciate, they don't know the state. They know I-15 because they drive to Disneyland or Las Vegas or whatever.
Yeah.
But they've never been kind of off the beaten path and seen some of the lesser known or even some of the well-known places. It's like I always avoided the big boys. I never went to Zion. I mean, I did eventually. We filmed in Zion, but I didn't care as much about Zion or Arches, places where everybody was going to go. I really cared about the places where, very few people, where nobody's going to go. But even there are spots that are so easy to get to that people just have no idea. I remember one time I was out of Price filming and we went to this place called The Wedge. And when I got there and overlooked The Wedge, the first thought in my mind was, I should have known this existed. Why did I not know that this existed? It's like the Grand Canyon. I'm looking at the Grand Canyon in the middle of Utah. Why did I not know about this? This should be everywhere. Yeah. And there were so many spots that were like that, where I would just walk up and be like, wow, why is this not on the cover of a magazine somewhere?
Dead Horse Point to me was like, I should have known about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the same thing. And I see these pictures and they're like, that's in Utah. I'm like, what? And finally going there, right? Oh, boy.
Oh, dude. And then experiencing it from different... Like, I've been at the top of Dead Horse Point, and I've been on the river at the bottom.
See, I haven't done that yet.
It's that sort of stuff. Oh, Cataract Canyon, man. Oh, Cataract Canyon.
Oh,
that is...
This sounds good.
Yeah.
There is so much more we could talk about, because I want to talk about... for me, one of my experiences was... It was out of Utah. It was in the Grand Canyon, and getting to fly in with Native Americans down to the bottom. Oh, so I was there, and I'm part Native American, so that was like, okay, this is special. This is different. I'm excited about this. Well, the funny part about it is we're going to turn it on its ear, because as much as we're talking about Utah and all the things that you and I know about this place, a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is places far afield from Utah. So that's coming up. We're going to hear about Alyssa Coburn's trip and what she's been up to. This is up in Alaska, so we're just kind of continuing on from last week to catch up with where she is. That's coming up after these messages. You are listening to KSL Outdoors. We'll be right back.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Outdoors, brought to you by the Cabins at Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I feel like just for the sake of Groundhog Day, we had to just start over again. Because that's the intro music for the beginning. But at any rate, Joe Davis filling in for Tim Hughes. It is live today, by the way. So if you want to call in, this is a call-in show after all. I'm just saying. You can call and talk to myself or Steve Heumann at 801-575-8255. and we'll be happy to take your calls and talk about the outdoors. But we've got a lot happening on the show that is pretty exciting, including the fact that Tim is still available to me if I need him. And
so you'll just call him in the middle of the show?
Right now, as a matter of fact. He's going to talk to Lisa Coburn about her Alaska trip. So this is pretty exciting. Here he is.
I'm happy to continue a conversation that we started last night, or last week rather, with Elissa, who is back from her trip to Alaska and has been both in studio and on the phone with us before. But you're home in Oregon again, huh?
Yes, I am, and missing the Great White North, but also happy to be home safe.
I'll bet you are. Last week when we connected with you, you shared some of the emotion of your visit there, and I found that fascinating because it wasn't your first trip to Alaska, but it sounded like you'd been removed for a while and maybe had forgotten what it meant to your spirit to be there.
Absolutely, and so the big moment for me, I mean, Alaska in general is just overwhelming in its grandeur and its beauty and the immensity of everything. Everything is so big, but at that moment that you're speaking of in particular, I had just climbed 3,512 feet to the Harding Ice Field, which is so immense there are no words to describe it. And I made this video trying to describe my experience and just couldn't, and was just overwhelmed and brought to tears just by the absolute enormity of the natural world and this incredible place filled with this, you know, ice that's hundreds and hundreds of years old. It was just really amazing to be in the presence of such wildness and greatness.
For those that maybe didn't hear our conversation last week or may not know your background, you have had a connection to Alaska in the past, and this was a planned trip that you made and the itinerary, I guess, all on your own, right?
Yeah, that is absolutely true. So I was in Alaska 5 years ago for the 48th North American Moose Conference. Yes, that is a real thing, where I presented on the expansion of moose into the North Cascades National Park region and whether or not the environment there could sustain a breeding population. So I was at this conference and was just absolutely immediately in love with the place. And, you know, Alaskan locals say that, you know, Alaska is, for some people, can be in their blood. Like, there's an immediate connection. And I really felt like that was an accurate descriptor for me because it was, I was totally taken by it from the flight in and just couldn't wait to come back. So, yeah, I was presenting at the conference and then had this opportunity. I just took on a new job as the CEO of Camp Fire here in Oregon. Having left Utah to take that on and had been working 60 to 80 hour weeks for about 10 months. And
so you were exhausted.
That, you know, I was pretty tired. Yeah, I needed a break. And so, you know, the opportunity came. One of the scientists that I met, a wildlife biologist, invited me to come and stay with her up there and her family. And so I took that trip up and had no itinerary because the weather's quite changeable in Alaska. And, you know, you can have the best laid plans and they'll get hosed because of weather. And so I had a few ideas in mind of places I wanted to go, things I wanted to do, but I left it very much to be kind of a last-minute choice to do things, and it worked out perfectly.
Speaking of this connection with the moose, what was this picture I saw of you hugging one or feeding one? What was going on there?
Well, one of the greatest things about having a friend who's a wildlife biologist is she has access to the state facilities that house orphaned moose. And so whenever they have orphaned babies, and this is something I definitely want to talk about on this show, a side note is that a lot of times people will see an orphaned baby anything, like whether it's a fox or a fawn or a baby moose or whatever it is going to be, and they immediately think they need to put it in their car and take it away.
Right.
When oftentimes it's actually, you know, its parent is not far away, and they're basically creating that situation where a baby animal has lost its parent. And so it's pretty sad. Like when you see a baby, you know, just side note, please leave it. And, you know, there's someone nearby is going to take care of it. And by someone, I mean their actual species parent. So, but when they do have the separation, you know, and the parent is scared away or the parent is killed or dies in the birth of the animal, this special facility helps to raise them and also uses them for research. So it researches how Their bodies metabolize different foods. I mean, they're not like dissecting them or anything. They're growing, and they have this big, beautiful place that they get to roam. And but it's fenced, and it's they get to study the moose and how they grow up. And so they were hand raised by humans so that they would be handleable. And I happened to meet this delightful moose named Boo, and got to have a nice close encounter with a moose, which is a very rare and exciting opportunity, because otherwise, if that was a wild moose, I would definitely be dead. Don't try this at home.
We were about to give you a new name, the Moose Whisperer or something out there.
Yeah, what I like to do is like just text that picture to people without the caveat.
Yeah.
And have them be like, oh my gosh, you're amazing, you're the Moose Whisperer. And there's a part of me that thinks I could commune with wild moose, but it's those people who think they can commune with wild animals that end up dying.
Yeah.
So don't try this at home. But yeah, that was a very special, it's a private state facility, so the public does not have general access. And so I was allowed to go in and actually like spend some quality time with a really nice moose. It was definitely a very special and awesome experience, since I love them so much.
Yeah, we so appreciate you sharing your trip up there to Alaska with us and with our listeners. In the time that we have left, though, I want to learn a little bit more about this camp that you now head up there. And so people here who, you know, I don't know, may want to send kids up that way might take advantage of it.
Yeah, well, if you want to get out of the heat, I mean, Oregon is absolutely stunning in the summertime. So we run an organization called Campfire Wilani, and we do we have a property that's out in Vineta, about 12 miles from Eugene, Oregon, home of the University of Oregon. And we run a wonderful summer camp with adventure backpacking, and then just a regular resident camp where get back to nature, disconnect from devices, and be outdoors with great staff, and canoeing and archery and zipline and hiking and all of that. And then we also run outdoor school in the fall and spring and do lots of fun events connecting kids to the outdoors through service learning and adventuring. So yeah, it's a great Campfire Wilani. Look for us on social media. And yeah, we have awesome programs for kids up here in beautiful Pacific Northwest.
Spell that for everybody.
Campfire, two words, Wilani, W-I-L. A-N-I.
I can't think of anybody better with more passion for it than you. It's fantastic that you're sharing that love with kids that maybe otherwise wouldn't have those experiences. And I would imagine change as many lives as it did yours when you were little.
Yeah, we hope so. And we got great reviews this summer and great public. People were just expounding about us on the internet and in person, and just like life-changing experiences for kids. And, you know, we never turn a child away for inability to pay. So we're helping to get every child an outdoor experience to change lives. And I hope we're doing it. I really think that we are. So thanks so much for that support.
I mentioned before we jumped on the air here that that flight for you back from Alaska is not a bad one. And you figured out why Alaska Airlines has great fares to Alaska.
Yeah, so Alaska Airlines, well, first of all, great airline, and I love flying with them, but the reason they have great prices is because the cargo hold is full of fish. It's full of Alaskan salmon and halibut, and so I got a huge, like, tickle. I was just like, I'm just sharing the plane with a bunch of fish right now,
yeah.
And it was really fun to see, you know, see it come off the flight for the local fishermen or the traveling fishermen, but then also they have just huge crates of salmon and halibut for sale as well. So
that's great.
Kind of exciting.
I wish they would make that part of the fair, that you get 10 pounds of wild-caught sockeye. You get to bring that home with you. That would be great.
That would be awesome. And yeah, they were big this year. Another one of my photos you'll see is I got a great spawning salmon photo as well in one of the rivers, just like thick with salmon. Like you almost can't see water. It's all fish.
Ah,
it's an amazing place. I recommend it.
It is an amazing place. Alyssa, thanks for sharing it with us and our listeners, and I'm glad we caught up with you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tim. It was a pleasure.
We're going to take another break. We'll throw it back to Joe Davis and more of KSL Outdoors Radio coming right up.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, We relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.